like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blessing. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, the theme of the playoffs was kind of injuries, at least to start for game one over the weekend. Injuries, guys getting banged up, missing portions of the game. Giannis Antetokounmpo was ruled out for the remainder of Sunday's game. He got hurt early with a lower back issue, a lower back contusion in the first period of their loss. They lost to the Heat, man. 130 to 117. Take Giannis out. I guess that kind of shows what the Bucks might be without Giannis. Mike Budenholzer, the head coach for the Bucks, said the x-rays did come back clear, but they're going to monitor him and see how he wakes up today. So I haven't heard anything new, but the x-rays have come back clear. It's basically going to be up to him and how he's feeling. Don't think he's going to be ruled out for the remainder of the playoffs or anything like that.
Yeah, but watch out for that Heat team. They went very far in the playoffs last year, so they're not a bad team by any means.
How bad does it hurt him that Tyler Hero's out? I mean, he broke his right hand diving for a loose ball during the second quarter of that game. And obviously that's going to be it for him. So how big of an issue is that going to be for the Heat? Yeah, you're right, though. They played well. They looked really good in that game and pulled off a shocker. They stole one in Milwaukee, man. That 8 seed took out the 1 seed in one game at least. So just goes to show you that it doesn't, you know, the 1 seed over the 8 seed, it doesn't feel like it used to anymore. I mean, could you see the Heat pulling off the upset? I mean, again, you just stole one. You stole game one. You got home court advantage. You gained that after one game. So that, yeah, very well could. But that was kind of the theme. Also, speaking of injuries, Ja Morant, his game two status is in jeopardy. Grizzlies already lost game one to the Lakers. The Lakers grabbed home court. Now they have the home court advantage. And now probably going to be without Ja Morant for game two. Now his x-rays came back negative as well. But he said at the end of the game, I'm in a good bit of pain. And that did not look good. I think the Grizzlies are lucky that the x-rays came back negative, because that looked like it was going to be perhaps playoff ending for him.
Yeah, and with two of their other guys already out, that series is very, very up in question right now.
Yeah. I think I picked the Lakers to win that series. But I didn't pick the Lakers to win that game. I went back and forth on that one. I should have just stuck to my gut there, Angel. You made a massive comeback here. I'm sitting at 8-6. You're at 7-7. Is that right?
Yep.
You had a good weekend. I was rolling Saturday. I had Golden State beating Sacramento, and that looked like it was going to happen, but the Kings held on. And that game's going to happen tonight. We got our picks coming up a little bit later on in the program. Golden State Warriors fan and Bay Area hip-hop legend E-40 was kicked out of Saturday night's playoff game between the Warriors and Kings in Sacramento. He said racial bias led to his dismissal. Videos show the rapper, according to ESPN, was born Earl Stevens, talking to security at Golden One Center before leaving his courtside seats. He issued a statement telling his side of the event, explaining that after being subjected to disrespectful heckling throughout the game in the fourth quarter, he turned around and addressed one heckler in an assertive but polite manner. He said, unfortunately, it was yet another reminder that despite my success and accolades as a musician and entrepreneur, racial bias remains prevalent. Security saw a disagreement between a black man and a white woman and immediately assumed that I was at fault. Oh boy. See what comes of that one. And then this isn't really national news, but I just, you know, Jamal Murray was, you know, ESPN, one of their top stories this morning now, since refreshing. It's one of the top four stories, but that was the story. Jamal Murray leads way for the Nuggets in his return to the playoffs. I do think that was kind of an under the radar story that we certainly talked about, but the fact that was Jamal Murray's first playoff game since the bubble. And there was some nerves there and everything. He admitted it. He's like, dude, the adrenaline was crazy. I couldn't harness it until midway through the second quarter or so. But I think that was kind of a special thing, man. I mean, like I said, it felt a little underrated. We weren't talking about it enough. That this is the first time seeing Jamal back with his guys. And Joker was asked about it by the TNT crew. Ernie asked him, or no, it was Charles Barkley who said, you know, outside of you, Jamal Murray's the best player on this team. But Joker responded back. He said, yeah, but there's many games where Jamal Murray is the best player. And there were times in the bubble where Jamal was the best player. I don't know that I saw many times throughout the course of this season where I would say Jamal's the best player on the team. But back in the bubble, before Joker was winning MVPs, it was, could it be Jamal? Could it be Joker? And it was nice to see Jamal kind of be the shining star for the Nuggets last night. He was doing everything. It wasn't just the scoring. When his scoring wasn't rolling, it was his passing. I mean, he found MPJ and DeAndre Jordan late. He found those guys. There were some tiny windows he was throwing that ball to. He looked like a true point guard out there last night.
Yeah, that's just, it's really encouraging to see, especially, and you add that with the addition of Michael Porter Jr., who, you know, last couple of years haven't been great in the playoffs, but he started off at a good, you know, 18 points, you know, had double-double last night, so that's really good for Michael. And just kind of him earning his way onto this team. You know, he's a starter, but he's getting those respectable playoff minutes, and, you know, down the stretch, he's in the game, which you love to see.
Yeah, for Porter, the knock on him is, can you create? Can you do the other things outside of just camping out at the three-point line? And I think some of that's unfair because there's plenty of games where he's not just standing in the three-point line. But he's a shooter.
That's his primary spot.
That's how you describe Michael Porter Jr. What's his strength? He's a shooter. Spot-up shooter. He can create, pump fake, sidestep. He can do that stuff. But what I saw was a guy looking up at the shot clock going, all right, now I'm not open. Nothing's happening. I need to create without the basketball in my hand. And he did that. And he was getting rebounds. This is stuff that he wasn't doing in the Phoenix series, you know, two seasons ago when they got swept. We wondered, you know, okay, what's Porter going to do when it gets tough out there? When they are playing up on him, is he going to play physical basketball? And last night he played physical basketball. I mean, I'm not going to say that was his best playoff performance I've ever seen. Maybe it was. The points were good. I mean, 18's fine. But it was all the other things that were incredible. Double-double. He said that's going to be his focus. It just seemed like, I got to say, you know, we've knocked Malone a little bit this last month. Not me. Your boy Tanner's knocked Malone
a little bit.
How have I knocked him?
I'm going off the little bit part.
How much have I knocked him?
Fair. I think we've all fairly criticized Malone the last
fairly.
Time. Fairly.
Tanner's a little unfairly.
Yeah. He's wanted to fire Malone since the start of the season.
Yeah, since they hired him, I think, that he wanted to fire him. But I'll say this, he's getting through to Michael Porter Jr.
I did not feel Malone's impact on the game last night, and I say that as a
negative
good thing.
Okay.
It's a good thing that I wasn't going, why is Malone doing it? Maybe for the Jokic thing
that
late
was
in the
weird.
Game, but I was like, whatever.
Joker didn't even know why.
I mean, Jokic earned his way on this team playing garbage time, so let him have it.
Boy, I'll just say on that side, after all the injuries I saw over the weekend that we just talked about, I'm not playing Joker at any time in a game where it's unnecessary. So I thought that was weird. He fouls out, but it was just strange to me. But am I going to hang on that one and be like, oh, Malone's lost. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He's
no.
Lost the locker room.
It's strange, though, especially when we've got four guys that I just mentioned are questionable or maybe even out.
Was it just being cautious? Because we've seen this team give up big leads
yeah,
late in garbage time.
Can't afford to lose a game like that. You just can't. It's playoffs. You can't afford to lose it. So, nah, I'm not freaking out about that one. But I'm telling you, you know, I'm watching Bones Highland play with the Clippers, and I'm thinking that was a guy that, for whatever reason, couldn't connect with Malone. Now I'm looking at Michael Porter Jr., and I don't see a finesse, fancy three-point shooter anymore, at least through game one. I saw a physical basketball player that wanted to crash the boards. that wanted to cut without the ball in his hand.
Well, it doesn't feel like Michael's going to sit and pout anymore like he used to.
Didn't it seem like a more mature Michael Porter Jr.
Like
last
he would run down the floor and kind of just stand off to the side or whatever. But, you know, a part of what he's transitioned to now, it's he's a very humble, very focused, locked-in player. You won't see a lot of emotion come from him unless it's a big dunk or, you know, a big three going into a timeout, and then he celebrates with the team. But normally it's just, all right, back down the floor.
He got an offensive rebound last night. You know, he's deep in the paint. He gets the board. He's under the backboard. And I'm thinking he's going to pass that out, or he's going to take some kind of – he's going to half blanket up there and put up a crap little shot. It's going to get blocked. He does a quick little pump fake, sidestep, and goes underneath, and just puts it in for an easy layup. Loved that move by him. First, you get the offensive board. But then you make the right move. You don't just go up. Your eyes get big because, oh, I got an easy 2 points coming up here. He slows down, makes a move, a little slight fake, and then goes up, and he gets the two. He was going hard to the rim last night. He was rebounding really well, so I love to see that. 16 minutes after the hour, we do have Brian Howell confirmed from Buff Zone. Let's talk a little Buffs. They get their sellout and everything. Is there concern about some of the players entering the transfer portal? Well, Primetime said as much to start spring ball. He said, hey, the team that we're playing with right now is not the team we're going to be playing with in Texas on their first game on September 3rd. So let's talk about that. Is this any sign of panic for Buffs fans seeing some of these names enter the transfer portal at this stage? It seems strange to see a large amount of players start to enter the transfer portal on April 17th or the weekend of April 17th.
Well, with these spring programs, it's a lot of, you know, they'll practice throughout the week and then they'll have one or two scrimmages on the weekend. And that's kind of where you start to figure out your depth chart, at least for your spring game. And then you can kind of get a feel for, okay, I'm third right now on the depth chart. I'm probably not going to jump the two guys in front of me. Let me just go try to find another spot real quick.
Yeah, no. We'll see if there's anything more to it than that. We'll talk to Brian Howell of Buff Zone coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This Preps baseball season, you pick the game. Hear high school baseball every week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Colorado Buffaloes gearing up for what should be a very exciting weekend. Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. And yeah, the Buffs have sold out their season. For the first time in 27 years, the Buffs have sold out their season tickets. We know the spring game, we got, I think, a sellout there too. Brian, exciting times for Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, I guess people want to watch this team.
I guess so, man. I mean, people are pumped about it. For the first time in 27 years, that's absolutely insane.
Yeah, you know, and it's only happened 9 times previously in their history, and I guess it's the first time they've ever sold out their season tickets before August, and obviously it's only April, so, you know, 4 months ahead of when they've ever done it before, so it's pretty insane. I mean, there's, how many times have we said that already in the past few months, right, about the insane popularity of this thing, the way it's gone the last few months.
No doubt about it, man. I mean, all the videos, all the media, everything surrounding primetime, it's been fantastic. It's, for me, it's must see. And if I see a video of Deion Sanders in a trailer with Ralphie, I gotta watch it. I mean, everything. It doesn't matter if it's football or just primetime walking around, dude. It's just insane. The pull that he really has. Well, let me ask you this, Brian. You posted on this over the weekend with some of the guys entering the transfer portal. Cornerback Nico Reed thought he was going to be an impactful player for the Buffs. Is this alarming at all, or is this just kind of, this is how it's going to go? Players start to see where they might stand up in the depth chart, so then I'm not going to get the playing time I thought, so I'm entering the portal.
Yeah, not alarming at all. In fact, I'm surprised that there hasn't been more since the portal opened on Saturday, because, I mean, this staff, Deion and the coaches have made, you know, no mistake about the fact that they are going into the portal. They're going to be active and get more guys. And, you know, they're over the limit. And so, you know, before last week, they were at 95 guys and the limit's 85. So I think with two more going in today, I think they're around 89. But, I mean, they want to add a lot of pieces. So I expect another, you know, 10, 15 guys to leave at some point so they can add more pieces. So it's just this crazy new world. And especially with this staff, as they're trying to build it so quickly, I think it's going to be a massive amount of turnaround here, even in this portion of the transfer portal.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, there's no slow build. You don't see that as much anymore, especially with a guy like Primetime, who has the popularity and the pull to get big names transferring over or whatnot. This is what you're kind of seeing throughout the landscape now, is it's not really, hey, this is my philosophy, but I kind of got to bend that a little bit because I got a lot of players that, you know, maybe they don't fit what I believe in as far as style of football, but I kind of got to live through it the first year or two. That's not the case for guys like Primetime, who can come in and say, yeah, we're going to get this team quickly up to, you know, in my image as soon as possible.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, that's such a difference. And you saw it even with Carl Durrell, when he first got here, the transfer portal was not what it is. And he wasn't here very long ago. You know, same with, you know, Mel Tucker and, you know, all the previous coaches. But with Coach Prime, it's, hey, this is going to go quickly. And he said again today, he met with us and he said, look, what we put out there on Saturday is not going to be what you see in the fall. And he actually said it. He goes, I promise you, you're going to like the product that we put out on the field in September. And it sounds like the way he talks, he doesn't totally like it right now, but he wants to like it in August and September.
What can we look at? What are you going to be looking for this weekend, Brian? I mean, like you said, this team, don't get used to everybody on the roster because more changes could be coming. But what are you personally going to be looking for this weekend?
Well, individually, you know, there's two guys that I think everybody's going to look for. I'm curious to see Shadur Sanders play. You know, I got to see him in person at the Celebration Bowl, but I'm curious to see him again in person and just get a glimpse of him again. And also Travis Hunter, you know, Coach Prime said today, you know, Travis doesn't even know this, but I'm going to tell him he's going to play some corner on Saturday. and he hasn't played corner at all this spring. So we might get a chance to see him play both sides of the ball on Saturday. And I don't know how many reps, but I think I'm excited to go see that. But I'm also excited just to see this offense and this defense and what does it look like, you know. How are they aligning? You know, who's flying around, things like that. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of guys on the field that probably aren't here in the fall, but I am curious to see just kind of what they look like offensively and defensively.
What are they doing for spring, for the game, Brian? Because, you know, you hear different things with teams. You know, they kind of gimmicky. I know UNC is doing something interesting here. CSU, I think they get, like, the backups are up by like 21 or something. I don't remember what they did last year, but sometimes there's gimmicky stuff, or sometimes they just play straight up. What are the Buffs going to do?
I'm not sure, and they haven't really said yet. And, you know, in the past, it's really been more of a glorified practice, and the scrimmage portion will be situational. And you'll see the offense start at the five, and they'll get across midfield, and then they stop and put a new group in, you know. And so I don't know if it's going to be straight up, you know, black versus gold type of deal. I'm not sure. And it could depend on what happens this week. I mean, the portal is open and they've already lost eight guys. So that's the one thing, is even if they're not going to be here in the fall, if you lose a bunch of guys this week, that limits what you can do on the field on Saturday if a certain position is depleted or something like that. So I'm curious to see what happens on Saturday.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. Brian, what are you hearing? I know there was a buzz over the weekend of Pac-12 TV stuff. I mean, we've all been kind of trying to figure out what that's going to look like. But what's the latest there when it comes to the TV contract?
Yeah, I'm still waiting, you know, and I think that they want to get it done as soon as possible. But there's been a lot of buzz about Colorado and the Big 12. But it's my understanding there's really nothing to that yet. There was a lot of people kind of latching on to the fact that the regents are meeting today in an executive session, but they've done that a lot since last summer. And I think a lot of it is just they want to get briefed on what's going on. There's no voting or anything going on, so nothing's imminent as far as CU planning on leaving. But the Pac-12 has got to get a deal situated here soon so that their schools can settle in and figure out what we're going to do. They got to find out what their value is, and schools like CU have to determine, are we going to stay here or are we going to try to go somewhere else?
What's the CW situation? I mean, is that what does that look like? Because I was hearing that a lot over the weekend, that there's potential there for the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, everything's potential, right?
Yeah.
If there's a TV network out there, but I have heard CW wants to get more into doing some live sports broadcasting and things like that. And so, you know, if whoever it is, if they want to throw some money at the Pac-12, I think they're going to listen.
And I wouldn't turn. I mean, the guy I was talking to was laughing about the CW idea, and I'm like, dude, I get that channel, so I would absolutely love that.
Right, and everybody gets that channel, don't they?
I think so. Does, I think that's part of it.
A lot of people do, and it's got a broader viewership than the Pac-12 network. I know that, so you know that's not a bad deal. If people are going to throw you money and you're going to be on TV all the time, you have to listen.
No question about it. You got to be listening to any and everything at this stage to see where you go. But, boy, we'll see. I know the negotiation process with the Pac-12, and again, all assuming CU stays there, it's the primetime effect has to be really helping their case with all this too, right, as far as their negotiations?
It could, although I think there's such speculation as to how long he's going to be there.
True.
You know? And you know, we're looking at, you know, these deals won't start until 2024, which would be year two for Prime. And, you know, there's some talk of, will he be here more than 2-3 years? So if you're in network, are you going to do a 7-year deal not knowing if he's even going to be there the last 5 or 6 of it? So it might, in some respects, at least maybe it's front loaded. I don't know. But I imagine it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? We're having those kind of conversations about primetime, though, where you're wondering, hey, if you have the season we all think, a lot of people think they're going to have next year and the season after that, maybe after that, that he might not be long for the Buffs. Do you get any kind of sense whatsoever on that, Brian? I mean, does it seem like Boulder could be his long-term home?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll say, isn't it interesting that we're talking about the head coach of Colorado maybe impacting positively the whole Pac-12?
Exactly. You know? It's insane.
But, yeah. This was months ago. This was back in December. But I did ask him directly. I said, you know, you've never coached really without your sons. What happens when your two sons are gone here after 2 seasons? Do you still want to be coaching? And he said, yeah. He goes, I'm not coaching just because of my sons. And so he made it sound like he just invested in youth. And so – we'll see. I'm curious to see what happens when Shadur and Shiloh, who's going to be here soon, their 2 years are up. Like, how much does he really want to stay here without them? He is very family oriented. I know he loves Boulder, but you know, what's the pull for him? And you know, $6 million a year helps, but he's also a very rich man anyway, and so I'm not sure how much that keeps him here. He could still go and do NFL Network and make that same money.
True.
So, I'm not sure. There's a financial pull here. I think it's interesting. It's going to be one of the more interesting things to follow probably in 2 years, a year and a half, whatever, when the 24 season is over. What's he actually going to do?
So it kind of sounds like, Brian, he doesn't strike you as a guy that could be doing this long term, maybe. I mean, the Nick Saban thing, the just year in, year out, I'm a coach, that's what I do. Because let's face it, I mean, primetime has made himself so popular through so many different avenues that, you know, football's great, but you could almost look at that and say that's just a part of what he's done. Because I'm kind of there too, where I'm wondering, is this his life? Is he now a football coach for the rest of it until he retires, or does he get bored of it? Does he want to do other things?
Yeah, and I would be, his contract is 5 years. I'd be shocked if he was here for the entirety of that 5 years.
Wow.
If he's still here December of 2027, I'd be shocked. That's just me. Maybe he will be, but, you know, I think, like I said, there's so many different things he can do. And, you know, when his sons are no longer here and, you know, his kids have moved on, they're all graduated, what keeps him in Boulder, you know? And again, like I said, he can make the same money or better doing TV, which he's done very well at. And so, and that would allow him to be involved with the NFL where Shadur is possibly going to be. So, it'll be interesting to see what he does, but I don't see him as a coaching lifer, and he is 55, and so 6 years from now, he's 60. How much does he want to keep doing that into his 60s? So I don't see him as a long-term coach here.
Well, and Brian, how about the health side of it too? You know, with his foot and everything. I mean, I've seen several videos talking about, you know, what he has to do for pain maintenance and all of that stuff too. Where maybe you do a couple years down the road, you look at jobs where you're not, because you're on, as a coach, you're on your feet all the time.
Yeah, and he talked about it today a little bit. You know, that he's working with an organization right now to try to help him to where he can feel better. It's called fourth quarter or something, but to help him get through the fourth quarter, because by halftime, you know, of games, he's in a lot of pain, and he just kind of guts it out until the end of the game. And, you know, he's got to get that thing massaged and things like that. And, you know, he's riding around in bikes and scooters just to stay off of his feet. And so, yeah, I mean, how much do you want to do that? Do you want to do that for another 5 years? And, you know, if that's that painful for him, then maybe not.
Well, interesting stuff from you as always, my man. Brian, should be a busy weekend. They're all playing on Saturday, too. That's what frustrates me. I got to make a decision where I'm going to go. But it should be busy throughout the Front Range and the state of Colorado.
Well, the nice thing is that you could go to one and record ESPN and watch it later.
That's true. You know? Well, there you go. I mean, that's the big thing with them being on ESPN. It's, you know, you got options anyway. That's a huge deal, man. ESPN.
Right, but then there's also that thing. But do I want to be there in person and be there for an event? You know, you also want to feel that too.
It's weird that I'm saying it about spring football, but it's history. It's historic this weekend with Colorado. Right. And no respect to the rest of the teams. We're excited about all of them, but this is historic.
Well, and I remember, you know, one of the first times you and I met. Remember that spring game where we're just lounging out there in the end zone seats. There's nobody around us. We're just sitting there talking. That's not going to be the case.
No.
Ever again while he's here.
No, absolutely not. Those were the days, Brian. We could go wherever we want. We could sit wherever we want. That's not going to happen anymore.
We were the kings of Boulder, and we are no longer.
Yeah, not even close now. You closer than me, certainly. Brian, my man, appreciate you as always. And we'll reach out to you and get kind of your thoughts after the game. We'll get you on the show next week if you have time.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Brian Howell of the Buff Zone. Yeah, dude, when I met Brian the first time, because he'd been coming on my show for years, but I was like, dude, I want to come down to watch the spring practice and just kind of get the lay of the land and all that stuff. And he was great. We just walked wherever we wanted, dude. We just went and sat wherever we wanted, watched the practices and all that stuff. But the way practice has been going and the way this is set up for the spring game, not the case anymore. And the Buffs will be all over competing in your territory there, Angel. And I know you roll your eyes at this. You roll your eyes.
I mean, Bama's on ESPN Plus, so it's kind of premium.
You have to be a subscriber, though. Regular Joe can watch it.
We're just not regular it's elite. Joes.
It's elite. You got to be an elite football fan if you want to watch.
You got to know what you're doing. You got to know you're going to pay for a better product.
How about that with Brian, though? That's the first time that I've heard him or any of the Buffs reporters kind of hint at, I don't see him finishing his contract. Not because he's so
good. I thought that as soon as he signed.
But not because he's so good he goes to a different college team. Brian sounds like he's got the feeling that once his sons are done, and that maybe it's just not, he just doesn't want to do it anymore, that he goes on and does the next thing. Whatever that next thing is. He's done the TV thing. Would the NFL be the next thing? You know, does he want to go be a, because he's 50, he is 55. He doesn't look 55, but he's 55. So you're there for 4 years, you know, you're almost 60 now. By the time you're done with that first contract, do you stay at the college game? He got into this late. I don't know. Listening to Brian, it kind of makes me, I don't know that he is. I mean, because Angel, like your boy, Nick Saban, that's his life. There's nothing, like, he does other things too, but that's all side stuff. His life, his career purpose is to coach college football. And there's a lot of guys like Jay Norvell at CSU. Whether he's with CSU long term or not, I think that his career purpose is to coach college football. That's what he's going to do. I don't know if I get that sense. Now, again, I haven't met Prime Time. I'm not down there every day covering him. But just from the stuff we see and how large, he's larger than life. Does a larger than life guy who's 55, who got into coaching fairly late, view this as, this is my life for the next 15 years? I'm not sure that that's going to be the case. And hearing Brian say that really makes me think that even more. 12:38 the time. Let's jump out real quick on Joe and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Ed Werder went on to do great things after graduating from the University of Northern Colorado. It's kind of like my guy Ryan Hicks with Renaissance Insurance Group. He was a UNC Bear. He's a UNC Bear alum 20 years ago. So he and another partner came up with Renaissance Insurance there in Windsor. And they got your backs, man. I mean, there's a lot of insurance companies out there to choose from. And I'm saying, I mean, go with the guy that supports the community. Obviously, you know, he's been at this long enough. He's well known, so he's pretty damn good at it. But he's also given back. So if you're in that market right now, you're switching it up, you're needing some help in certain areas. You got commercial and personal insurance need, workers' compensation, farming operations, all of that. Ryan will take care of it. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. His number is 970-674-8825. Again, that's 970-674-8825. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Did you see was it NBA Central, whatever, on Twitter? They pulled out Nikola Jokic's comments talking about, you know, all the talk about MVP and him and all that stuff about Kendrick Perkins. They pulled the one quote that might get people up in arms a little bit. Joker just said, the quote was something like this, Angel, wasn't it? I don't really listen to those people. Is that what it was? I think that was his quote. And again, the way NBA Central, just that's it. That was the quote.
Yep. I don't really listen to those people.
And it was
Nikola Jokic on Kendrick Perkins.
And it was on Kendrick Perkins. So naturally, we're in a very fun society sometimes.
And the tweet doesn't link the article. It just says via Denver Post.
Yep.
So that could have been from any article at any time.
So dumb.
Journalism, folks.
If you use your logic, you know what he was saying. But there are people, go look at the comment section, which dangerous stuff. People are upset. Now, I don't think this is the good sign, Angel. I don't think that this story's blowing up to the point where everyone's freaking out and it's all over the media and Joker said
yet.
This. I don't know.
You got to get through LeBron first.
Yeah, I don't know if it will, but it's just, we know what he meant. Everybody, if you use your logical brain, knows exactly what he means. He's talking about the media. He's talking about the talking heads, the national talking heads, whatever. Even just the media in general, even local media. That's who he's talking about. It's not a black or white issue. But you get some on Twitter because, again, irresponsible reporting, it shouldn't be an issue anyway. But because NBA Central just pulls that out, they want to get some likes and tweets and retweets and comments and all that. We're in that. That's the world that we're in. You're going to get the negatives coming out saying, what do you mean by these people or those people? It's ridiculous, man. Just absolutely, it's infuriating that A, you pull a quote like that with really no context, and then B, people immediately want to go to, that's what this is all about. So stupid. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Nuggets will be rolling again on Wednesday night. Is it 8 o'clock? A little bit earlier. A little bit, 30 minutes. Although it won't start till like 8:20 because we'll have whatever the game before them will go long and then you'll have to, or you could switch over to Altitude if you get it. Some were blacked out with that, though, apparently.
Did you watch on Altitude?
I watched the first 4 minutes on Altitude. I love Altitude. I like to watch the national perspective whenever they're on national games or playoffs because I kind of just like to get the feel for how they're talking about them. Because I know Altitude's thoughts. I mean, Joker is basically, you know, he's a god if you watch Altitude. And I'm not disagreeing. He's pretty close, but I like to watch the national side of it.
I don't think I've seen a bigger contrast in how people received it, but the ESPN broadcast compared to the TNT broadcast.
Oh,
it's insane.
TNT is so much better. Is that what you're saying? Is that
yes.
Where you're going? Yes.
TNT is miles
ESPN above. ESPN is
like, you turn on the ESPN halftime report, and it's like Stephen A. and whoever, and they're sitting there just bored.
Yeah.
They're just blank face. Here's what happened.
TNT,
okay, TNT,
dude.
It's an entertainment. They dropped ping pong balls
so
on Charles Barkley.
They're so good. I've always said this to Tanner, and I would always tell him, like, we'd watch the games. I'm like, dude, TNT crew is the best. They're the best in all of sports. Pre-game, halftime, post-game, all of that. Because yes, they give you the meat, man. They Kenny the Jet, he'll go up there, he'll give you the X's and O's. They break it down. Charles and Shaq will break it down. Ernie's a great host. But they have so much fun with it. So I absolutely do it second to none. And ESPN, they got a lot of, like, there's people that I hear talking, and I'm like, how did they get into the media? How did they get this far in their career?
Like, they do a little stand-up, like, on the sideline, and they don't even, like, they're sitting there, they're reading their notes, and they look at, oh, I'm live, okay.
Yes.
Let me take a breath. Here's the report.
Some of their sideline announcers are just not good. Like, they're just not good. And this has nothing to do with man, woman, whatever. Just some of them on there, you hear them and you're like, they just don't sound that great. They're not articulate. They don't have a lot of deep knowledge that they're giving us. TNT, even if Shaq and Charles don't sound the smartest in the world on certain topics, it's entertaining. It's fun to watch. I'd rather watch them talk about basketball than certain TV shows. You know, and some, again, talk shows sometimes can be what they are. Some can be very good. Some can be boring as hell, whatever. But TNT is so good. And they do throw out respect for the Joker. So you gotta love that.
Yeah, I mean, Charles and Shaq, they love the big guy.
Yeah.
Big Honey, they call him.
Oh, man. And Shaq's asking him. He's like, dude, well, I think it was Shaq. Maybe it was Ernie. They asked him, like, why were you shocked that you went back in? And he's like, yeah, but I don't mind playing garbage time, and that's not a question for me. So, I mean, Joker was, like, I tweeted it out right before he went back in. I was like, Joker's all tucked away on the bench. He's getting ready to put his onesie on. Shut her down for the evening. Bam! He goes back in, and I'm like, But maybe you're right. It's like, dude, we can't take any chances. We can't take any kind of chance on a Minnesota epic comeback here. Let's just make sure we finish this thing out the right way, be done. I also think, in Malone's defense, there is, you can give him credit for saying, hey, we don't want to give them any kind of momentum at all. Even if it's the last 3 minutes of real time where the starters are in, we don't want them to see the ball go through the hoop.
Oh, their coach is telling them, hey, we lost this game,
but
we got 5 minutes. Let's finish strong.
He said, yeah, don't even worry about the score right now, but we need to find a way to get something going. And they didn't. They didn't. So, you know, how much will that impact the rest of the series? We'll find out more on Wednesday. 12:49 the time. Before we break, do you want to shout out to Shields? My wife just texted me. My kiddo, he's like bright and early this morning. First thing on his mind, for some reason, we haven't been there in a bit. He just looks at my wife. He's like, let's go to Shields. He just wants to go to Shields.
Ferris wheel.
Everybody wants to go to Shields, dude. Doesn't matter. I love Shields. My kid loves Shields. You, if you haven't been, you're going to love Shields. They're located off of Highway 34 in Johnstown. It's, they have everything. 12:49 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Your local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. Shout out to the Eaton Country Club. The cold, snowy weather can have everybody kind of going stir crazy. We might get some more of that coming up on Wednesday. But I think we're going to get slowly but surely to that point where we have consistent, beautiful days in the state. We know it's coming. Guys, check out the Eaton Country Club, Northern Colorado's hidden gem. Membership opportunities can be found at eatoncc.net. So the Clippers beat the Suns. But that was the game right before the Nuggets. That was a hell of a game. That was a fun game to watch. Russell Westbrook couldn't score. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but it was everything else that he was doing. His defensive ability, his rebounding, keeping plays alive. I mean, he was all over the place. He only had 9 points. He was 3 of 19, dude. I mean, he was bad on the offensive side, but he had 11 rebounds, 8 assists. He had a couple steals. He had 3 blocks. And then the key play at the end, Booker's going up. I think the Clippers are up by 3, and Devin gets the breakaway. It looks like he's going to go up and get 2. Westbrook jumps in out of nowhere, blocks the shot, and then with his other hand, like, hits it off of Booker, so it goes out on Booker. That was kind of the play. That play kind of sealed the game there, and the Clippers went on to win. They got game one, dude. They grabbed home court advantage now by beating Phoenix. How do you think that series is going to go? I think I picked Phoenix to win it, didn't you? We both picked Phoenix to win that series. This is how big this is. You win, because Phoenix was the higher seed. They got the first two at home. You win one of those, you just stole it. That thing could go 7, dude. That's what you want.
I hope so.
Yeah, you want go 7.
Be the most physical you can possibly be with each other, and then come to Denver.
Whoever it is. And Kevin Durant, I saw some stat, too. He's like 0 for 7, his last 7 playoff games. 0 for 7. I mean, he had a pretty good game. I mean, he had 27 points, 11 assists, 9 boards. He was there. But the Clippers just were dialed in, man. And, you know, what can you say? Kawhi Leonard was sensational. He had 38 points. All this without Paul George.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's very impressive to do that without Paul George. And it's kind of like Kawhi's team now. It's just, at least for this series, just own that.
Yeah, they just kind of had a steady presence about them. Last night, Bones Highland played 13 minutes in that game. He was 1 for 6. He had 3 points. They only went 4 deep off their bench with Powell, Mann, Highland, and Plumlee, who, like, jacked up his pinky or something, right?
Yeah, it was bent like 4 different. There's not even 4 bones in your pinky. He bent it, all 4 of them.
Oh, man. He had 11 boards, though. He was running the boards for the Clippers. And then Westbrook, like, goes and finds a fan. Was that before or after the game? Westbrook's just in a suite where a fan is and starts telling him to watch his mouth. Like, the fan's son's sitting right there, and Westbrook's talking trash. The fan's going back and forth. I'm like, how the hell did Russ even get in there? Is that where players just go? That's a weird thing. All right, in the final hour of the program, we'll get back to some more Nuggets stuff, the state of the Rockies at this point. Also, the Colorado Avalanche and their matchup coming up with Seattle. They play tomorrow night, so I'm looking for that. The NHL playoffs start tonight, though. 5 o'clock is the first game on ESPN2 with the Islanders and the Hurricanes going at it, and then the Avs tomorrow night. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.